Good morning, everyone. That's all I know. Time won't wait, slips like water through your hands. And before I get into that in the talk, I would like to ask my dear colleague, our senior minister, our Jill Carey, to please come to the stage. She thought she was going to hide out in the back. Come on. Come on. Didn't see that coming, did you? So, ladies and gentlemen, our dear senior minister, Jill Carey, and my friend and colleague, today is her birthday. So, sneaky girl. So, please bring those up and let's get a rousing round of happy birthday, shall we? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jill. Happy birthday to you. Yes.
Thing about Disneyland being the happiest place on earth. This is my happiest place on earth. Thank you.
Yeah. Happy birthday, sweetie. Thank you. God's timing is always perfect. All I know, time won't wait, slips like water through your hands. That is my, pretty much my autobiographical song, for those of you who've heard it many times over the years. That song began in writing that was in 1993. And I was in bands, and I took it to different bands, and as I was still learning the craft of songwriting, I knew when it didn't work. And the band's like, yeah, it's a great melody, it's a great groove, and you know the chorus is nice, and then I'd get to the other parts of it, and I knew it was falling apart. I didn't have the message in it yet. And it took another 10 years and a move from Georgia to Texas and a few songwriting workshops and a few other things for that God timing to drop in, because I was ready to hear the message and get out of my own way and actually get to the truth in the heart of it. And that was the truth, was I was working in a corporate job, and I would go to, in Georgia, and I would go to get out of that space. I would go to this, down a red dirt road was an old wooden church on the edge of a cotton field. That was the truth. That was the truth. And there was picnic tables underneath, and I would sit in the shade and just go, okay, show me. Show me. And even this is before I even knew anything about unity or science of mind or new thought or anything else. I was just at a loss. And the key to that was, like I said, getting out of my own way, deciding, making the decision, the power of decision, to get clear, to get the direction, to listen. That was the most important part of it. And the one little key thing that turned for me was going to that workshop, and I can't even remember exactly what was said, but it landed. And I went home that afternoon, and I changed the song. And the original, and I say that because the original title of that song was Wandering. Because I was. And we've heard it said, all who wander are not lost, but I was kind of lost at that point. And I changed it to, it was like, no, this is all you know. Time won't wait. It slips like water through your hands. So this last week we started the series of The Power of Decision by Dr. Raymond Charles Barker, the online class. And I have taught from this book many, many times, and I love it, and I revisit it many, many times, because every time I read it, I get another layer of understanding about being a decisive person and deciding about everything. And whether we recognize it or not, we are making choices every moment of our lives, most of them unconsciously. We were laughing about it on class, and this is the truth, and I'm sure probably none of you have ever had this experience, but when you're with a friend, a longtime friend, your spouse, a partner, significant other, and you get to that point, it's like, hey, you know, let's go out for dinner tonight. And you hear the, well, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? Well, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? And you say, oh my God, just pick something already. Decide. And I've learned that process of, because we just let things float around and then we kind of end up not being happy with any of what unfolds. And there's metaphysical, quantum physical law because of that. That's what's happening behind that. When we, actually, Raymond Charles Barker, he talks in this book, one of the first premises that he presents is when we choose not to choose, we are actually choosing to fail. And it kind of takes a little bit to wrap your head around that. But the idea is when we are aware of, and in this teaching, this practice, we know we are, our thoughts are creative. And the feelings behind those thoughts give the gas to the thought of whether or not it's going to manifest. And when we are wishy-washy all day long, just saying, oh, I'm just going to go with the flow and just let whatever happens, happens. You know, I'm cool, I'm chill, I'm whatever. And then we end up having something kind of fall in front of us. And we go, well, why did that happen? Why did that happen to me? Because somewhere, if our thoughts, and we know that our thoughts are creative, if we've got a whole bunch of junk floating around, there's one little thought that attaches to a long ago held belief. And the next thing you know, you got this thing plopped in front of you and you're not understanding where it came from. So the first step in this, of course, is to be aware. We talk about this all the time. This is about consciousness and not just part of the time, it is all of the time, being aware of what's going through our heads throughout the course of our day. And we start to pay attention. And we start to, you know, find ourselves going, oh, wait a minute, I was just about to do that thing out of habit. And I recognize that by doing that, I'm probably going to get the same result. And I want to change, and I'm making this decision to change. And yet, our habit, our conditioned thinking, our conditioned subconscious is running the show in the background. And as many of you know, because many of you have been in the classes here, this stuff ain't for sissies. This work is not for sissies, is it? It's like, no, it's not. Because once you decide, here's the other part of the equation, once you decide, the universe moves, God moves, spirit moves to support you. Often that will look like chaos. And it's not, you know, the misconception in this is that we're being, you know, okay, I made this decision, I'm going forward, and suddenly we're tested to see if we're strong enough to actually do what we said we're going to do. And there is no testing at all, because the spirit, universal mind, universal intelligent God, whatever you want to call it, doesn't judge. It doesn't say, okay, you decided you're going to do this thing and I'm going to slam you upside the head to make sure you're true to your word. Because the truth is, God doesn't need us to say, this is the way it's going to be. God already knows what it is that it's going to be. We have to align with it. So the thing that looks, when we make that decision, the thing that looks like chaos is all the other stuff, the unhealed beliefs that are going to come up to present themselves to say, okay, well, look, here is all this junk that's been floating around in your subconscious. What are you going to do with it? And that's really it. And you have a choice. You can decide, oh, yes, I see this. I don't like how it feels, but I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to heal it. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to release all of those practices. I'm going to meditate on this. I'm going to see if there's another way to do this. Those are all the tools that we have available to us that move us in the direction of actually being successful, of not failing at life. There are three components to this, the three keys to success in this book, and I really encourage you, because it's online, you don't have to go anywhere. You can sit in your jammies. You can, you know, be drinking your iced tea or eating your dinner online. We won't judge you too much. But the keys in this, there's just, you know, as in all of this practice, there's a lot of very simple and really actually elegant tools they're not easy to use. They're simple ideas, and when you hear it, you go, well, of course that makes sense. But putting it into practice is a little more challenging. And the three things are, the first one is know what you want. Know what you want. And I don't know about you, but my experience in growing up was that was not an option for me to pick. I was told a lot of things about what I would and should want, who I should be, the shoulds, the don't should on me. You've heard me say that many times. Tell people to stop shoulding on you. And I didn't realize, I was in therapy in my late 20s and the early 30s when the therapist said, well, what do you want? And I was like, I don't know. Nobody's ever asked me that before. It was a moment, a concept. But once I got the idea, it was that's exactly where we've got to start. We've got to know where we're headed. We've got to know what direction we're going in, or we're not ever going to get there, right? We're just aiming at a moving target. Is really what it is. If we don't sit down and figure out where we want to go, how do we know? We sit in meditation. We get quiet. And we ask. We can ask the higher self. And the best question to do that with is, what would I love? What would I love? Because the energy of love is the most powerful energy on the planet. So we breathe into it and say, what would I really love? And where we can feel the energy come up and the excitement come up. We go, okay, that's a good direction to go. About being directionless, I want to read this to you from the highly metaphysical text, big text, Alice Through the Looking Glass. And Alice says, "Will you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" said Alice to the Cheshire Cat. "That depends a good deal on where you want to get to," said the cat. "I don't much care where," said Alice. "Then it doesn't matter which way you go," said the cat. "So long as I get somewhere," Alice added as an explanation. "Oh, you're sure to do that," said the cat, "if you only keep walking long enough." Yes, bother, bother. Walking in circles. How I've been having a week of kind of walking in circles myself. And in fact, one little tiny, tiny little meltdown last night. And Jill's laughing. And I'll explain. As many of you know, I'm working towards my ordination. And right now, I'm in a class called Understanding the Bible. And I was deep into Genesis yesterday. Uh-huh. Ooh. And to preface that, this class, of course, is approach, and there's all kind like big warning labels from all of the professors, and the texts that go along with this are, keep it in context, keep it in as the way you're reading it. Look how you're reading this. Don't get sucked in, which I did. I got sucked into kind of stuff. And Reverend Jill had texted me about another matter, and I just kind of went, "How's that?" And I think her words to me were, "Well, that was very well articulated." And I had said, "I'm headlong into Genesis," and she said, "Set down the Hebrew Bible for tonight and get a good night's sleep." And I said, "Good plan." So that being said, deciding how we take things, knowing where we want to go. This is the prime lesson for me was my old conditioned thinking was, I'm going to get down this rabbit hole, said Alice, I'm going to get all sucked in this thing and I'm going to get mad and upset, da-da-da-da. And then I realized I had to change my decision about this. My decision was, this is a historical thing. It's a social thing. It's about law. It's about poetic writing. This and when you can look at this piece of literature that just blows my mind. I'm not a big Bible person. I didn't get a lot of it when I was a kid. And as a text, it's like if you just wrap your head around the idea that this thing has been around for thousands of years and it is a touchstone for so many people. It's also being used as a weapon, and it has been since its writing. And we have to decide how we're going to take that. We have to know where we're going. In this case, where I'm going is, I want to finish this class. I want to be done with this. But the journey along the way has already been very interesting and very enlightening to me. I don't fear the stuff in the Bible. It's like, no, in context, and all of the historical things that are coming along with it, it's like, wow, this is really fascinating. And there's a lot to read, holy smokes. So know where you're going. The second step is decide that it's going to happen. We make the unconscious choices daily about things that are going to happen. For example, you know, here's my plan it did for today. I'm going to go to the post office. I'm going to go to the grocery store. I'm going to da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. There's a certain level of expectation you have every time you make a decision. And it unfolds exactly the way until something gets in your way. And suddenly, oh, why me? Why did that person pull out in front of me when I was on my way to get avocados and ruined my day? That's extreme, I know. But we don't think about the decisions that we make with an expectation that it's going to happen. When we decide that something's going to happen, my decision was, I'm shifting my mind about this class and the other stuff that I have that's on my plate right now. I'm deciding that it's going to be easy. Many of you have heard me say that. The easy button. We are conditioned, so conditioned to make things so hard on ourselves. We really are. And we send ourselves through all of these hoops that we, don't need to be doing. I got to stop shaking my head. Or not. And we make it so hard on ourselves. And the thing is, what we can do with this, because we are working with mental law, we can instruct the subconscious and say, okay, I'm deciding to do this, and I am deciding, notice, go on notice, subconscious, go on notice right now, big signs, big arrows, I'm in charge. My conscious mind is in charge. And your ego will fight back. Your conditioned thinking will fight back. You'll feel all those wiggly things. You get scared and, oh, I'm going to get distracted and dissuaded, and I'm going to go clean the refrigerator now just because it hasn't been done in 6 years and I don't want to write this paper. But that's what will happen, right? So everybody's, yeah. But you can instruct the subconscious mind to say, no, just let's take a breath. Let's get quiet again. Let's sit back and go, okay, I am deciding to do this because it is something that I'm called to do, it's something I'm inspired to do, it's something I'm motivated to do, and I'm not going to allow all the conditioned subconscious thinking to come up and throw me off track. Because I, number one, know where I want to go. I would like to get ordained sooner than later. I don't want to put it off for another 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 years. That's the other thing. Know where you want to go. Decide it's going to happen. Step three, take action. There were three frogs sitting on a log in a pond. One of them made the decision to leap off. How many frogs were left? Yes. Made a decision to leap. Didn't leap. Gotcha. That's the other part. We make decisions all the time, and then we don't take action. And then we wonder why it didn't come to pass. We wonder why it didn't manifest. As I said earlier, once we make that decision, we hook that emotion and that inspiration and the idea, the thing to the idea, and it's the gates of everything open up going, okay, I'm here to support you. And then we immediately go, oh, nope, I'm going to go clean the refrigerator. We have to take the action when it comes. And we had this great discussion in class on Wednesday night about that. Was seeing the next step. And you know when it's the next step, because it will make you a little uncomfortable. It will feel inspired, and then it will feel terrifying. And then you know that you're on the right track. Because you go, wow, that's a great idea. Oh, no. I've done it many times in my life. And I choose, I decide when I'm conscious of it, when I'm quiet, when I have not overscheduled myself, I can hear those moments of, oh, that's right, I made this decision. I'm getting a piece of direction or a piece of guidance. I'm going to follow it. And it's a tiny whisper. It is usually a tiny whisper until that tiny whisper grows and grows and grows and grows and grows until you get smacked. That's right. Thank you, Jim. Preach it. So, know where you're going. Figure out what you want. And it's really okay. And here's the caveat, a part of that conditioned thinking is your deciding for what you want, deciding of what will make you happy, deciding what you will love, does not diminish anything that anybody else is getting, as long as it harms no one. That's the other thing. Because when we're in joy and we are in breathing the inspiration, we're in the flow, when we know that we are consciously working with that power, we are co-creating, it is cool. And I know many of you have been there when it's like everything's running on all cylinders, and as soon as you turn the corner and there's another thought and there's that person you wanted to talk to and there's that phone call and there's that check that came in the mail you weren't expecting, and you go, wow. And it is, it's a feeling of being open, being a conduit from head to toe. So know where you want to go. Decide it will happen. Decide to make it easy. Decide that you know you are supported and loved and held up in every single moment. And then take the action that comes from the inspiration. Sound easy? My other part of that is recognizing, too, that you're in a community where we support each other doing that. You have prayer chaplains, spiritual mind treatment with practitioners in your midst. We have ministers, we have prayer partners, coaches. You know, a lot of you have coaches at the gym. A lot of you have teachers in yoga and other things. It's the same concept. Somebody that will hold that space with you and for you when you decide to step out, when you make the decision to step out. So above all of anything else, be willing to listen, be willing to take the action, and for God's sake, just pick something already. Thank you. Come on up. Thanks. So I invite you, just go ahead and take a deep breath as we move into our meditation. And using your imagination, begin to allow your mind to take you somewhere beautiful in nature. It could be right here on the hill, it could be anywhere, anywhere in the world, anywhere in the universe, but a place that you know just brings you to center. Breathe into that favorite place, that ideal place. Doesn't even have to be anywhere you've ever been yet. Could be on your bucket list. Breathe in the sights and the sounds. Take it all in. See the details. Allow yourself to relax. It's easy to relax here because this is your most beautiful place on the earth. It's your sanctuary. It's filled with beauty and comfort. You're sitting in the center of paradise. And you know without a doubt that this is the place where you feel your highest power. You feel the light of recognition growing and glowing in you. This is the place where you're most creative, where joy springs up naturally, where gratitude is the overarching feeling. And in this place, you now know that every need is met. Every desire is the one you know with certainty comes from Spirit. Comes from Spirit wanting you and needing you and only you to express itself by means of you. Everything you need to bring the visions and desires into your experience is right here. And you can let go of how. So allow. Allow Spirit to move through you now and bring to your conscious mind the one dream, the one desire that you'd love to experience in this human lifetime. Long-held burning desire that you may have tucked away because of your conditioned-based thinking. That thinking that said it wasn't practical or achievable. Gently set aside any past idea of shame, blame, judgment, or not enoughness. Instead, keep inviting the vision, the dream, the deeply held desire. Invite it in. Say to yourself, I now direct my subconscious mind to bring forth with perfect clarity who I am to be and what is mine to do. And if you feel your nervous system reacting, simply breathe and know everything is possible. All you have to do is take the first step. And the next steps will be revealed. Everything is possible. All you have to do is take the first step and let go of how. Say to your subconscious, every answer
to any problem is now available to me. Every resource and every person needed to help manifest this vision is now known to me. Say to yourself, everything is possible, and I am taking the first step now. Courageously, confidently, and joyfully. And say to yourself, everything is possible because I have decided it is possible. Spirit has my back. I can relax knowing this. I have decided that I know this. And I'm so grateful to know this. I am willing to know this. So breathe deeply. Know you can. Using the power of imagination, return to this place, your most perfect place. Decide that you will return. Decide for your divine well-being. Decide you will lovingly take every idea and every step that is revealed. So breathe deep. And allow the music to anchor your decision. Open my heart. I am willing to be the change I wish to see. And I know that it's to open my life. the still small